You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Feel what you need when what you really want inside can your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not
This
slaves.
Call may be recorded or transcribed.
We were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Excuse me, family. Excuse me. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather will be accommodating. Hoping that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it is not, and you got to do it, it has to get done, it must be done, you'll get it done. Peace. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you can't not listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Hit that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, and it is updated. So go to that, and most recent programs that we have done are there and others. Okay? All right. Excuse me, family. I'm trying to clear my... Let me clear my throat. Let me clear my throat. The program's here on Time for an Awakening. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursday, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday. Tonight, Friday, at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 9832. We're not doing any announcements, but I will give a few out. Today, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., disaster awareness for community preparedness. Brother Yusuf Muhammad, my good brother and friend, who's former president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I was, my good brother and colleague, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. It's on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go to Blog Talk Radio, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, you can get the program from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Or you can dial 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster awareness for community preparedness. Yeah, it's going to be, Brother Muhammad is going to be my guest today, but unfortunately he had to cancel. Things come up, you know. But he'll be with me on Wednesday, the day after the election, and we'll talk about what's going on. That day they still might not have announced winner, but I had some little venues, some little 3 to 5 minute pieces coming off of YouTube that would articulate some of this issue. Now, I've been saying that she's going to win. I believe she's going to win. You know, I believe she's going to win. This campaign that Donald Trump has made is just ridiculous. It's designed to not make him win. Only the hardcore fools and idiots and Negroes would vote for him now. It's crazy. His campaign is ridiculous. When they parodied his, give me some water. When they parodied his rally with the Nazi rally of 1939, it was a good comparison. It was a good comparison. A European Jew stormed the stage in 1939. He was given a beat down. You know, but in this case, they just did themselves consistent blows to the campaign with racist and homophobic and, you know, misogynistic remarks. And then the things that he says all the time. Yeah. It would be a miracle to me. But then again, family, if he wins, it says volumes about what we say, those of us who are in the African-centered movement, those cultural nationalists, those men and women from Marcus Garvey and even some beyond to the present, as opposed to those who favored integration, assimilation, those who wanted to live and work and be with Caucasians, rejecting Africans, didn't want to be African, didn't want to identify with being African. Says volumes, if that does happen. Let me continue on. We got the Inyasa Simmons. I'm going to read some of the past days that I missed because of for various reasons, health reasons. So I'm going to read yesterday, today, and tomorrow's. And then I'm going to read the previously missed. So we have some dialogue, you know, it'll take us up to probably the top of the hour. October 31st, avoid those who always praise you. African proverb. There's much truth to the claim that praise can disarm those uninitiated in Yoruba's world. For those who selfishly open their hearts to our community, this can hold even more truth when such utterances come from minds void of African character. When uttered by envious, nay-thinking, menticide-encrusted lips, praise can even be momentarily debilitating. Those who unwittingly, out of the goodness of their hearts and with naive human expectations, accept at face value praise words from envious manipulators, from mind-spirited haters whose haunting emptiness consumes every intellectual and emotional fiber of their self-identity, from the belighted ones who breathe, whose breath to belittle others in order to gain a sense of superiority, are bound to feel the kind of emotional sting only betrayal can bring. While this pain is enough in and of itself, there are other consequences here. Confusion and social trepidation can set in, because there is little, if any, means for identifying beforehand those who commit such dastardly acts. Cues are often difficult to identify, and there has never been a proven general description of those who seek to damage others' hearts. Even if it were, those who choose to live as such would pretend
the opposite. The other problem, a related one, but one which has even more far-reaching consequences for any positively development sense of family, community on the front lines, is in how not to allow the way of this reality turn the uninitiated into hateful beings who can trust no one's words. It may help if we can recognize that distrust is a weapon against us. It is the true intent of confusion. Affirm, I am careful with the praise I receive. Affirm, I am careful with the praise I receive. November 1st. We need a revolutionary ideology that reflects the utility of African social analysis, the inevitability, correctness of African prophecy, of African gods creating a new man, and an immorality of communal love as the basis for a committed to kill and die for the liberation of all African people. In other words, we need to get this shit on. And for that, we need a revolutionary script for the terrible African drama of cosmic forces that were about to rain down on those pitiful Ofe's. Abide Akin. Warriors are vast because, like the universe, they are beyond comprehensions. Warriors are divine because, like divinity, they are sacred. Warriors are natural because, like I say, Yah, they are of this earth. Warriors are resilient because, like their people, they are undefeatable. Warriors are fierce because, in intrepid frontliners, fear is not part of their vocabulary. Warriors are organized because, like members of the centered community, their energy is focused on clear objectives. Warriors are strong because, collectively, they form a powerful family. Warriors are beautiful because the compliments they reflect are their mirrors. Warriors are geniuses because, like the progeny, they teach, they think. Warriors are focused because their spirit, mind, and body are harmonized. Warriors are because they are all of these. Ashe. Affirm, I am writing the script that's bringing the rain. I am writing the script that is bringing the rain. Rain down on all those pitiful Ofe's. Ashe. November 2nd. Miseducation is a process by which field niggas are converted into house niggas. Gloria, peace. Wherever they may be, warriors are of the field. Regardless of the bloodline of which they are the culmination, warriors are of the field. They see the value in this choice and appreciate the honesty and authenticity of the uncompromised self-esteem that can only grow there. Warriors view what many would see as highly desirable creature comforts with intense, knowledgeable skepticism. These feelings of distaste do not come from a preference for discomfort. Rather, they rise from a studied awareness of their source in an anti-African society. They know that everything has psychological and political strings, and rarely do the strings attach to things produced on Urugu's assembly line in favor of Africans. They have learned to think as Africans at war with their people's destroyer. They do not want to subsist in their house. Regardless of how difficult and seemingly disadvantaged this stand may appear to most, the freedom and the power that comes from choosing to be African is too precious for them to relinquish for a few hand-me-downs. True warriors are deeply rooted in the soil, and they are not convertible. Affirm, I am of the field. Ashe, I am of the field. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I will be reading last month's ones that were missed, and we'll go over those. have some discussions about them, because it's deep wisdom. In fact, the person that gives us this deep wisdom is Brother Mwali Mu, Brother Mwali Mu Bomanti Baruti, Baba Baruti. He will be the guest on Monday, and Wednesday will be Brother Muhammad, right after the election. And one of the things, of course, that Baba Baruti is very serious about is don't want nothing to do with this madness. And I hope you understand that. I hope you understand it. Don't want to have nothing to do with this madness. Okay. I wanted to play one of those vignettes that I picked from off of the YouTube piece, but somehow I hit something and lost them. Yeah, and chalked that one up to shit happens, you know. But before I get off into the months that we have missed for October in the Inyasa Sema Daily Revolutionary Thought, I do want to say, and we'll have a deep discussion on this on Wednesday, but since it's the last week before the election, I think it's already settled. And I've read many times or seen many times of how Donald Trump is going to once again steal this election. You know, the votes in big metropolitan areas where we are particularly, and Democrats are particularly, as opposed to the rural areas where Caucasians and the Republican Party are more dominant, it takes a longer time to count the votes in these big metropolitan areas than it does in the rural areas. And so it may seem just like he said in 2000, we were winning. I went to bed, we were winning. I got up, and suddenly we were losing by millions of votes. And it wasn't close, family. It wasn't close. But the fact that he was winning, and then under the covers of darkness, he felt some shenanigans were going on. Not the reality of counting votes in larger metropolitan areas, and the fact that the West Coast, which is predominantly Democratic. But his thing was continue to lie. That's what I'm saying, family. If this man wins, being the habitual narcissistic liar that he is truly a demagogue. Look it up. It describes him perfectly. But then all the other narcissism, Nazi, all those things describe this man. All of them. And in his pea brain mind, everything, you know, just like he had to go to McDonald's because Kamala mentioned that she worked at McDonald's as a youth. Well, I'm quite sure it can or cannot be disputed, because a great number in the millions of youth have worked at McDonald's. I never worked at McDonald's. My brother did. My brother worked at McDonald's. I never worked at McDonald's, you know. But many have. And so, of course, his ass didn't work at no damn McDonald's. He's privileged. He went to a military academy, but yet he had bone spurs, so he couldn't get drafted, or he couldn't, you know, go into the Vietnam War. Me, at the time of the war was winding down, they had a lottery. Man, I won the lottery. Because your birth date, it would put you in or out. It put me out of the selection. My birthday, April 27th, was way back in the 300s. So I was out of the mix. But if you was in the top 100, yeah, you got drafted. And, of course, there is no draft now. And of course, a lot of people go into the military because they can't be all that they can be in the society. So they go to the military and for the benefits and so forth, understandable. Education, buying a home, health care. So. But this man, he claimed to have bone spurs a number of times, so he could not get drafted. Then he talked about military individuals. I don't like people who get caught. And speaking in reference to John McCain, who was a war criminal, a war prisoner. You know? Yeah, I don't like people who get caught. And they continue to do and say stupid stuff, insensitive stuff. You know? And just the other day, he said, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, this is what I heard. A lot of stuff that I would say, I either heard him say it or I read it. You know? And some of those, hopefully, they're reputable. You know? But, yeah. Donald J. Trump family, it's going to be very interesting. And I hope, if you voted already, I'm hoping that, your vote is cast, is counted, whoever you voted for. That's the thing. Just like Brother Ralph, he's not voting for either. But he's going to vote. He said he's going to vote for whoever. But it's not going to be Harris. And it's sure ain't going to be Trump. I always say, because I'm not going to vote, he's going to get the votes that he's going to get. And she's going to get the votes that she's going to get. And I'm going to comment on them both. Just like somebody said, man, in fact, it's my good friend Jim Wimbush. He's been stomping for Harris. He's gone to a few other states. When he went to Michigan a couple weeks ago to canvass and work with workers, Puerto education workers there. And but he said, you don't have any right to complain if you don't vote. I beg to differ. You know, if you voted for Trump or you voted for Harris and you become dissatisfied, well, hell, you voted for him, but me, I didn't vote for either one of them, so I'm going to talk about their ass like a dog. No, I haven't voted. I voted for Barack the first time. Became very disenchanted seeing what was going to happen, so I didn't give him any money, and I didn't vote for him. And that situation turned out to be what it is. You know? So, yeah. It's going to be very, very interesting. Yeah. But he's already, from 2016, developed a mechanism by which he can argue and challenge. You know, it really surprised me, because I said something other than what happened in 2000 when I said he was going to lose, because he's supposed to lose. How he handled the virus was just, I mean, a lot of people didn't have to die. Hundreds of thousands didn't have to die. But it is him. The things he said about shooting bleach eternally or take something and throw a light inside. Or you know, apparently he didn't talk to his people about the virus and ways to vaccinate and so forth. But he's given credit for developing the vaccine in such record time and guiding and pushing it through his administration. And then, of course, being disseminated by, because the election was coming up, being disseminated by, yeah. So, family, we're going to read some more of the Inyasasim, and then we're going to take a break from that, and then when we come back, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. This is African Perspectives, and I'm glad you're with us. So I'm going to read a few of these ones that we missed. Oh, we see we got. Hey, my brother, how you doing? How are you?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Brother Lust. Ted Lust. Theodore Lust.
Yes,
how are you?
That's right. Just wanted to chime in and check in with you. And,
appreciate
and,
it.
Keep the energies flowing.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, indeed. All is well here in the greater Montgomery, Alabama area. Nothing too much to report on. Just trying to enjoy this weather.
I hear you. Is it 80? Is it going to be 80 degrees there today?
Yes. A little slightly less than that right now, but
right.
It'll probably get up that high.
Yep.
So other than that, though, just everybody's waiting for the great Tuesday to happen.
Yeah.
You know, as for me, it's my birthday. So you know what?
Is that right?
A day off. I'm enjoying my life.
Right.
And doing a lot of more creative visualization on who I am. And just enjoying life, man.
Right on, please. So November 5th, your birthday?
Yes, sir.
All right, take that day off and enjoy it.
Definitely. Whatever
you do.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brother
Definitely.
Ted.
Definitely. Don't worry about cutting no grass.
I hear you. All right, hope you have a great weekend.
But it's good to hear your voice, sir.
You too. You too. Well, continue to listen, okay? Continue to listen.
I most certainly will.
All right, brother.
Peace.
Brother Ted Lusk, he has been a constant contributor on this program for many years. Appreciate him tremendously. He sent me a lot of good stuff. So we're going to go back and read some of the ones that we missed because I was unavailable. And so a lot of October, we didn't get a chance to, We're going to start with October 15th. And then go to 15th and 16th, 17th and 18th, 19 and 20. Yeah, it's a lot of them. But they're all thought-provoking and they're very good to have some discussion around, particularly Baba Baruti's narratives, because the quotes are just profound in themselves. October 15th. Violence continues to be associated with being young and American African, despite the frequency of mass shootings perpetrated by Caucasian boys in recent years. Ray Winbush, my good brother Ray Winbush, he's not out of Buffalo. I'm not sure where he's on, but he's at Morgan State University. Brother Ray Winbush, big proponent for reparations. I can't remember the name of his book. Reparations. Oh, They Owe Us. Yeah. How can you forget that title? They Owe Us. So easily are lost souls deceived by treachery within alien smiles. To know this and yet still believe the lies they spin is sheer idiocy. So to even consider the possibilities that we are born immoral, depraved, and without a work ethic would be foolish on our part. Accepting as truth because of our fears and their statistics that African youth must be hunted down and that all those who remain free are merely criminals who have yet to be caught is extremely dangerous. A criminalized people can receive no justice unless it benefits their criminalizers. And then it is conscious, calculated manipulation, not justice. Who are you, Rugu, to accuse anyone else of anything but being greater than them? They have done nothing but kill or attempted to kill every mind, body, and spirit they have ever encountered. Everything we know about them goes against Ma'at and no one else from their same cradle cousins to those Africans who have, through looking at the world through Machiavellian lens, forgotten who they are and believe power and wanton homicide to be one in the same compares. For them to accuse any one of us of being their kind of violence is tantamount to a seasoned serial killer pointing a destructive, accusatory finger at an aging pacifist who morally wounded a sadistic home invader to save her only grandchild's life. Liars lie. It is their defensive nature, coupled with the delusion that they are normal, and that deep down inside, everyone must think like them. Affirm, I do not embrace a scapegoat identity. Affirm, I do not embrace a scapegoat identity. October 16th, my good friend, Sister Ozara O'Day, it's her birthday. And of course, that's the Million Man March. The Million Man March. Next year, 2025. Man, I'll tell you. 30 years. Mark the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. Now, you know, I went to all the previous anniversaries and believe me, family, the march, the day of itself was just phenomenal. The 10th anniversary, yeah. The 20th anniversary, yeah. Man. So, the 30th anniversary, now who knows whether they're even going to do it, you know. There should be, obviously, probably will be, some acknowledgement, some discussions. Should look at 30 years later, where are we? What benefit? Yeah. October 16th, the Million Man March, 1995. In this society, forgetfulness is encouraged. Forgetting serves several ends, such as severing ties of ancestral remembrance, erasing of cultural identity, and the disruption of an intergenerational struggle for freedom. When we forget, we are given new memories, histories, and lineages by those who profit from our loss of memory. Some of us sadly reveal in this erasure, while others seek to ameliorate such loss and its destructive consequences. Kamal Rashad. That we should forget what they have done to us in the past, because they tell us they are now a different, more civilized people, ignores the fact of the natural civilized state Africans lived in long before the European existed. And this leads us to forget several important points. The first is that they continue the same practices, only at a more sophisticated level. They have not stopped their reign of terror. The lynchings continue. The rapes continue. The theft continues. Germ warfare continues. The genocide continues. They move on. They have learned from their mistakes and improved their methods of oppression. Secondly, forgetfulness downplays to the oppressor's advantage the roots of all revolutionary change. Someone was wronged with malice, forethought, and beyond human reason, and continues to be wronged in the same intolerant way. And thirdly, remembrance is a necessary and natural cleansing, healing ritual. Our self-determined, our historical memory serves as a constant reminder to never let what happened to us happen again. If we rediscover our roots but do not comprehend what tore us from them, we can easily be ripped from them again and again and again, each time becoming more distant from the possibilities of a full and final return. Affirm, I remember. Affirm, I remember. October 17th. If you now teach, if you don't know, learn. If you know, teach. If you don't know, learn. If you think you know, study harder. E. Curtis Alexander. Reafricanization only comes about as a result of a serious, lifelong study of our ancestral way and our evolving, practical, applied rebirth within. It is the process whereby we take what we are learning through that submersion and submission into the lessons of our story and begin to apply it to ourselves in an effort to change ourselves from what we have been forced to imitate and exaggerate into our true selves, our ancestors. Our ancestors. It is a process brought with difficulty and hardship because our menticide has an extensive root system and logically interconnects everything we formerly thought and believed to be absolutely true. The anti-African crusade coming from without and within to keep us de-Africanized assaults us from every angle and in virtually every thought to the point where it's sometimes overwhelming. However, once we know we are African and once we recognize we are not European, nothing Eurasian brings can stop us from being who we are. Reafricanization is the process whereby as we rise into our African selves, we begin the conscious collective process of changing our environment to match our growing awareness of how an African world would and should feel in this time and place. As we think, we become. So always study the knowledge we need to be and teach what it means to be African, like you will not be here tomorrow and you will need it the day after that. Affirm, I teach, learn, and study harder. Affirm, I teach, study, and learn harder. Good morning, Brother Irv. Good morning, Brother Irv.
Baba Oshi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, my brother?
Brother, I'm good. It's good to hear your voice, Baba Oshi.
Oh, you too, my friend. How are things?
No, you sound,
how are things?
Everything's good.
Okay, everything's good on the set?
We're in last day of shooting.
Okay.
Last day of shooting today. And they've been here for 3 weeks. I've been here for two.
Okay.
It'll come out in January.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it and we'll promote it and to get a chance to see the finished product on a Lifetime. Yep.
Yeah.
We'll do that for sure.
But Baba Oshi, you're speaking about those who you know should teach and those who don't know should learn.
Right.
Even and that saying those words, even those who know should even yearn to learn more about your history, because the history gives you a foundation. In other words, it gives you a springboard, because once you start to learn, and Baba Oshi, history, our history is so exciting, so it motivates me. In other words, when I read things that I really thought I knew and didn't know, it motivates me to do more.
Right.
It motivates me to move.
Right. And see what else is happening today in this society is an attack on our history.
Yeah.
It's a deep attack on our history. They are in public and as well as private schools. You're not going to be allowed to teach it. They're not going to talk about critical race theory. They're not going to talk about how we got to our position. We're just supposed to accept it and just go along to get along. Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, what's coming down the pike? If we don't come together to fight it, you know, we'll be zombies.
It gives me a headache to think about the position that we have to play in this chess game of life. And I'm using that only for lack of using other words. This game where people say they're playing chess, they're playing checkers, they're moving 10 steps ahead of you, but let's be perfectly clear, Baba Oshi. The playbook that Arugu uses is the same playbook that Arugu used in Africa.
Yeah.
When they read something called apartheid, which means the root word means apart.
Right.
So the more of apart we are, the weaker we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really quick, and I'm gonna say this on this movie set. I watched everybody on this movie set. Everyone on this movie set is pushing in one direction.
Okay.
And that direction is to get this movie finished. Everybody wants to finish this movie. The transportation guy, the director.
Mm-hmm.
The grip, the people who are doing the lighting, everybody's pushing to one direction. When I saw that, I thought about my people.
Mm-hmm.
We all should be moving in the same direction. To highlight our differences, we know we have differences. We know that we all get in the room, but we need to keep our differences in-house. Everyone else keeps their. No one else airs their dirty laundry in public. No one else, other culture piles on to each other, you know, when it comes to degrading a person or demeaning a person. We have been taught to not trust each other.
Right.
We have been taught not to embrace our brother at his lowest. At his lowest, when he's practicing homosexuality, when he's in a drug addiction state, you know, we've not been taught to help that brother. We've been taught to alienate him.
Right.
He's the worst. I'm not him. He's not me. But the reality is, Baba Oshi, when my brother's in trouble, I'm in trouble.
I say.
When my people are in trouble, I'm in trouble. When my people are down, I am down. So we know that the things that are wrong, we get together, we find solutions. We're not a stupid people.
Right.
If we were stupid, we wouldn't be here. We would not be here. Where were the Mayan people? Where are they at? Where are the Native Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they at? We're still here, and we're still stuck. We in the United States are the richest people of melanin in the world, but we're rich in monetary. We're not rich in the mind and the culture. Our minds are still chained up. We're still shackled in that mindset of a second-class citizen, of a permanent second-class citizen. Mm-hmm. So we are, as we come together, as we put our fists together, we see the power that we have in each other. And that's what this show, African Perspectives, does. It makes you think outside the box. It makes you say something or do something that you wouldn't do in a crowd. Because, brother, this is family, bro. Say what you got to say.
Right.
And let's make it do what it do. Brother O.C., thank you for that.
No, brother, I appreciate really, it. I know you're on set. You might have to go real soon, but whatever time that you are on here and every time that you give, it's always worth it, brother. Appreciate you very much, man.
Love you, man.
Love you too,
man. I love the listening audience, man. I really do.
Right on.
Thank you so much.
All right. Peace. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Irv, man. Yeah, it's good, brother. Brother Ted Luss, Irv. When I come back, I'm going to read October 18th, Kamal Kamban's quote. I know Baba Butch would love to hear that, Baba. Kamal Kamban. That's how Brother Baba Butch came to the program. I'm so happy. You know. So we're going to take a break. So when we come back from that break, we're going to continue to read from the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Once we're done with that, it's on you what you want to talk about, what you want to discuss. You want to discuss some of the politics, the political bullshit. That's fine. Whatever it is you want to talk about. You know, you want to talk about, you know, whatever. Okay. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Grover Washington, Mr. Magic. Man, 1975. Yeah, Grover was born December 12th, 43 in Buffalo, New York, and he passed December 17th, 1999 at the age of 56. Definitely truly gone too soon. The music, what was interesting to me was Grover and Najee and many other the brothers that own saxophone, particularly more contemporary, not, you know, some of the older cats from back in the day. Like Benny Golson just passed, but he was, because he was, you know, with Dizzy and so forth. I mean, but the more contemporary ones. That Najee and him and Kenny G, the Caucasian Kenny G, made more money than all those cats combined. Sold more records than all those guys combined. And all he did was appropriate, was to copy what those brothers did. You know? I mean, very few would, you know, copycats and not give them some credit. You know? They like, this is who I am. When you truly are parodying those who are before you, or those who are contemporaries and who are great and they're right. But you know, just like Elvis. You know, just like Elvis. But anyway, we're going to continue on with, let me first say that we're reading from the Enya Sesema Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Baruti, and I know last month was the fundraising month, and I hope they did well. I know tomorrow, the 2nd, is a men's quarterly and a women's quarterly. Let me get the... For tomorrow, well, I should read Baba Baruti first because he's on first. So let me just do that. Yeah. So tomorrow, from noon to 2 p.m., is the Bearings, the Anatomy and Evolution of African-Centered Theory, a lecture by Baba Mwalimu Baruti. And that's going to be tomorrow from noon to 2 p.m. Donation for brothers and the warriors, $12. Warriors in training, $6. And of course, if you want more information, you can dial 404-753-7237. You know? And of course, you can send it to, if you want to make Cash App, no, PayPal, if you want PayPal, yabaruti@yahoo.com, yaabaruti@yahoo.com, or Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, Baruti. Included in information, bearings, your name, and the email address that you want the stream link sent to. Okay? Yeah. And then also tomorrow is Mama Inia, Sister Circle, Sexual Healing from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Donations, $12 for sisters and $6 for teens. And same thing, send it if you want to use PayPal, yaabaruti@yahoo. If you want to use Cash App, $YAabaruti. Included, Sexual Healing, the pertinent information, sexual healing, your name, and the email address that you want the link sent to. Please do not send the link without an email address. All right. So those men's and women's quarterly. The November 16th, the 16th of November, we're in November, Kibuka. That's right, brothers and sisters, Kibuka. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Saturday the 16th. Live and online virtual. Families, $35. Couples, $25. Adults, $15. And children, $5. It's going to be held It's going to be live. I'm thinking it's going to be not where it has been consistently, but a different location. It's not on here, family. I apologize. But I will have it. You will definitely get it. Okay? Kibuka. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Then there's a African healing event. African men and women releasing our pain and healing together. That's going to be led by Mama Ya and Baba Baruti. Saturday, January 25th, 2025, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. House of Ogun, 4720 Bryce Drive. Union City, Georgia, 30291. Couples, $50. Individuals, $30. Okay? Yeah. And he gives the details on that and more details to come. And then, of course, there's coaching for the village, couples for couples, individuals and family, by Mama Ya and Baba Baruti. Okay. Yeah. So, let's get back to what we were talking about. Okay? The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I really appreciate what Baba Baruti has done. I tell you, I really do. And it fits with what I'm doing. It does. It was my mindset before. I met Baba Baruti in Milwaukee. Queen Ifama, and may God be pleased with her work, my dear friend. Truly a beautiful ancestor, Queen Ifama. And, you know, she was doing radio, and she was on Blog Talk Radio, and encouraged me to go on Blog Talk. I was trying to get a radio piece together, and initially I was on, like, some Google piece that definitely didn't work, was not strong, and, you know, but got on Blog Talk, and then was approached when Brother Ralph heard my program, and then was approached to talk with Brother Elliot, and then got on Time for an Awakening and been on since. And I'm very happy and very honored to be on Time for an Awakening, to be able to broadcast this program literally around the world. But, yeah, he was in Milwaukee. She had brought him to Milwaukee. And he talked about the effeminization of American African men and other subjects. So I met him there. Came to Atlanta and saw him at Kwanzaa and reintroduced myself. And then I moved here. And, of course, there's a mutual love and respect for myself and Baba Baruti and what he does. I support him. I support him. He's a Pan-Africanist. It goes in line with my program. It goes in line with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. sovereignty for African people. He agrees with the motto, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. So, yeah, great warrior. October 18th, we once believed that racism was a sickness, but we were wrong in this assumption because sickness implies curability. European racism is a terminal illness, a terminal disease. Our people must come to understand that all Europeans are inherently racist. Baba Kamal Kamban. Baba Kamal Kamban. Racism is not a disease. It is not so easily dismissible. It is a manifestation. It manifests systems of Urugu's evil genius. It is the nature byproduct, an innate spiritual deficiency, and it exposes an active, apprehensive inadequacy which knowingly works at the level of culture to keep hidden its acidic nature. If Urugu knows nothing else, they are fully aware that they are historical patterns which expose the consistency of their racist ways, have the potential of revealing even greater abnormalities. Truths thus revealed would necessarily lead to Urugu's disposition, victims becoming an even better able to grasp the unchangeability of evil. They could more easily recognize and analyze Urugu's corrupted nature and the intentionality of the racism they have spawned and used against the world. Affirm, I know that all Europeans are inherently racist. Ashe, I know that all Europeans are inherently racist. October 19th. There is no cure that does not cost. African proverb. Relinquishing Urugu's ways entails a cost. Removing the shackles that noise and confusion bring us, a chaos which is natural to them, which they diligently, invasively spread to others, will never be easy as long as we live in their social and cultural sewer. Their social and cultural sewer. And are consistently bombarded by their sewage. Now, the internet is the main carrier of this noise and confusion. In words, and presentation, so much of it is malicious and ugly and goes against African sanity and unification. It does nothing more than entangles us in a verbal and visual violence which threatens our very existence and strengthens the chaos already engineered into the design of virtuality, every social platform there. And because of it, every day more and more of us are moved away from who we are and what we should be communicating. The presence of simple, sane rules of communication, whether followed or not, are in order if we are to create space where conversations are neither mean-spirited nor divisive for those of us whose interests center in the empowerment and the empowered nation-building movement. In following Ma'at, the voice of African sanity, here are some rules warriors might consider in creating centered online communications in communities. Do not curse each other. Ashe. Do not seek to only find fault. Do not spread rumors. Do not talk about people behind their backs. Do not turn against someone because they disagree with you or will not say things your way. Do not praise someone in order to elevate self. Do not use counterproductive words or images. Admit when you do not know or are wrong. Be kind and considerate of others. Do not argue with those who are dedicated to their mental side. Let me say that again. Do not curse each other. Do not seek to only find fault. Do not spread rumors. Do not talk about people behind their backs. Do not turn against someone because they disagree with you or will not say things your way. Do not praise someone in order to elevate self. Do not use counterproductive words or images. Admit when you do not know or you are wrong. Be kind and considerate of others. Do not argue with those who are dedicated to their mental side. Affirm, I pay whatever is necessary to heal. Ashe. Affirm, I pay whatever is necessary to heal. October 20th. A lot of days, family. A lot of days to catch up. This lighter brown color you now have is a light brown scar. When you have a scar, it is evident that violence took place. It is also evident that the body was able to heal itself. The lighter brown skins that we have are scars. They are evidence that violence took place in our ancestral blood circles. Forced miscegenation, forced race mixing, rape. However, these lighter brown scars were worn are also evident that the melanin won the psychological battle. We are not melanin recessive albinos. We are not Caucasians. We have come through the fire and have emerged stronger than ever. These scars, like most scars, remind us of our triumph over adversity. Kwesi Ra Bata Akan. When we need to win, we are open to the lessons left, to the lessons life gives. Closing doors open up the spiritual, psychological, and emotional space, which makes it possible for others better, more beneficial opportunities to present themselves. Only then can the attacks of enemies or their treasonous agents be seen as gifts. Only when they serve to remind us of what these enemies have done and continue to do to us can they be of serious, lasting benefit to us. In self-aware, self-empowered, self-defining minds, pain serves a motivational purpose. It sustains remembrance and teaches what to confront and never allow again. To remind unvictorious and yet to remain unvictorious and yet forget the source and reason for one's oppression is to invite complacency and counter-revolutionary inactivity. There is nothing in our lives which should not be remind us of Urugu's ways until they are no longer a force in our lives and are reduced to utter insignificance. And even then, our mirrors should always remind us of the historical record of that terror and the errors we made in letting it happen and letting it in. Firm, no matter the scars, I am not white. Ashe, no matter the scars, I am not Caucasian. I am not European. Okay, so yeah, you look Puerto Rican. What you mix with? I'll tell you, love being African. When I said that, right away, Sister Freddie Washington popped into my mind. She always identified with being African. She looked like a Caucasian. I can't speak to, I don't know her history. But I do know the films she was in, the time that when they were having the race movies that she played in. You know, she was in the first Imitation of Life, and she played that character, you know, who wanted to be white, but that was not her. That was not her. She was proud to be African, and she worked a lot with a lot of organizations. Yeah. Look up Freddie Washington. Yeah, beautiful sister. October 21st. We are not other schools. We are teaching something we have been taught against learning. We are not just teaching our students about Africa. We are teaching them to be African. Nyenke. For those warriors who see their only calling and duty as being to educate African people, the mission is clear. They are fighting for our people's truth and sanity. Their vision is predestined and incontestable. It is victorious to its cultural assembly, the spiritual core. It is a fully conscious, revolutionary, uncompromisable, and centered return to our source, to our ancestors, to our genius and timeless way. Such courageous individuals are here to create, sustain, and expand the intellectual space within which our warriors, warriors in training, and potential warriors can more rigorously, righteously consider their frontline role and worth. They are here to unwaveringly model what it means to be African, because we know that everything teaches, and they have to definitively choose this stand, because there is no middle ground in war. We're in the context of the Maafa, of this genocidal warring against us. To be an African warrior is to be an educator. And in order to be a frontline educator, one must be an African warrior. On the contemporary battlefield, there is no separation of the two. We must pass on who we are through what we do, how we do it, as well as how we explain it, who we are, and why we do what we do in the way that we do it. Because we are rearing educated warriors to rear educated warriors. Let me repeat. Because we are rearing educated warriors to rear educated warriors. Affirm, I teach our warriors in training to be African. Affirm, I teach our warriors in training to be African. Ashe. Ashe. October 22nd. If you wish good advice, consult the old person. African proverb. If you wish good advice, consult the old person. Ignorance returns to haunt its keepers. As a warning, there are more than good number of pretenders to the warrior's mantle who are recklessly dismissing elders so they can seem to know all knowledge, that they're so knowledgeable. There is an arrogance in this which speaks to the lesser equality of their character, as well as the westernized need to dominate and know all. In time, this will backfire. In their frenzied drive to find greater targets whose destruction they fear will lead to their elevation, arrogance wannabes cannot help but believe that they are actually the authors of the theses, the antitheses, and the synthesis, model of discovery, correction, and rediscovery. And therefore, they misguidingly believe that they are the sole and only credible source of truth in anything that corrects it. They operate without moral spiritual bonds or are historically grounded guidance and see others who they need to dismiss so they will not be heard, for fear that others will see their flaws and plagiaristic intimidation. Plagiarizers has non-rivals because the audience they have created can no longer see or hear them either. They can be told nothing. Their greatest weapon is backbiting and cult-like fashion. They organize weak-minded followers against all intellectual threats, and they work hard to stay ahead of discovery, hoping to escape the aphorism that what goes around comes around. They forget that soon, in the progressive tradition of Urugu's dialectical reality, they will be incorrectly defined as elders by a generation which, having studied them, will surpass them in their ability to arrogantly intellectualize and deceive their way into a delusional, self-serving supremacy. Affirm, I am on a better healing, well-advised life course. Affirm, I am on a better healing, well-advised life course. October 23rd. Enough is enough. That's my sister, our great ancestor, Fannie Lou Hamer. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. But to me, Fannie Lou Hamer's greatest quote, her greatest quote, never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Never forget where you came from, family, and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Some want to use elders as tools to help them beat down others within the community. And if these elders do not agree to do so on command, then they are accused of being traitors for silently sanctioning the words and or behavior of individuals over whom they have no control. And in an attempt to further punish them, they are discourteously demoted to the worthless older status. This is a dangerous precedence, and it is directly attributing to the fragmentation of the African community. It is not the respect it is fringed to be to any degree whatsoever. Moreover, it definitely is not how politics within communities aspiring to be African work. It is the calculated lie of those who see elders as unwise, stupid, gullible individuals who exist solely to be propped up so that they can more effectively be used as weapons against others within the community. Elders know their role and are wise enough to know what they say and when to say it. If they were not, they would not be elders. So to treat them in this condemning way because they will not speak for you or allow you to speak for them is so unfair and even cruel. They live to serve us. Beyond being simply unfair, though, reacting toward them in such a hateful, judgmental way is extremely self-centered and bears a striking resemblance to the politics of bullies who seek to intimidate others into the agreement or submission so they can be right and unquestioningly so, even when they are completely wrong. Affirm, I focus my thoughts, time, and energy only on those who love and respect me. Ashe. Affirm, I focus my thoughts, time, and energy only on those who love and respect me. Ashe. Okay. We only have two more to do, family. October 27th. Sometimes the unlearned lead the learned and teach them courage. Teach them to die with a handsome toss of the head. Arnab Bontemps. Especially under the dire circumstances in which we find ourselves, the current misidentification of wisdom is surprising. The number of individuals who appear informed or knowledgeable and are applauded for their eloquence in theoretical and or conspiratorial, dramatizing. Our condition is very puzzling in this escalating genocidal onslaught. It is as if our submission to lesser God-like beings in fear of their reactive, fear-driven retaliation has led most of us to carve solution-oriented in action, to crave solution-oriented in action, and believe that higher intellectual states could actually exist without being directly, actively connected to an inactive, informed service to African people. This is not our tradition, and any individuals behaving in this way are not warriors. They are entertainers, given that we are at war, or rather, that which are being warred upon. There is no other credible explanation. If they were not entertainers, then we would see the product of their eloquence other than more eloquence. For warriors, there is no such thing as intelligence without conscious and concrete action. For warriors, there's no such thing as intelligence without conscious, concrete action. Affirm, I teach courageously. Affirm, I teach courageously. And our last one, October 28th. The record measurement of any object, far being the absolute measure of that object, is in fact the measure of measuring capabilities of the measurer, Obiaguna. When speaking of Africans by capacity, I do not mean ability as in the physical presence of the brain. I mean that such an individual is not so encumbered by Eurasian that he or she cannot even consider the possibilities of an alternative, i.e., in this case, different and better. Perspective. I mean that such an individual is intellectually curious and intrepid enough to openly listen to, logically consider, seriously embrace, and permanently internalize correct African thought. Ashe. Capacity here means mental, not biological ability. And to keep our capacity at a minimum, Yorugu attacks us conceptually. They do this by first identifying those terms which empower us as African. And they follow this up by cultivating and financing intellectual assassins in every place from academy to the music studio. They take treasonous individuals who look like us and use them to spearhead turning politically meaningful terms into neutered contradictions in the same way that they turn us against our traditions and divinity not too long ago. What has been done to meaningfully unifying visionary concepts like conscious, Hotep, sovereignty, revolution, elder, and brother and sister are prime examples of this subtle, never-ending tactic of war against us. When thinking is corrupted, the action which comes out of it cannot be helped but be. When thinking is corrupted, the action which comes out of it cannot help but be. If we are to counter this, we must stop allowing enemies to undermine our frontline concepts by redefining them into irrelevance. Affirm, I have the capacity to think beyond the Eurasian. Affirm, I have the capacity to think beyond the Eurasian. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasa Sim of daily revolutionary thought. I really do appreciate what Baba Baruti has done and continues to do. Once again, he'll be our guest on Monday's program. On Wednesday, on the follow-up between on Monday and Tuesday election. On Wednesday, Brother Muhammad Abdullah will be the guest, and we will talk about a number of things. So, I appreciate that. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about on this first day of November. First day of November. And let me say this, because we have to understand. We have to understand that. We are under constant attack. And many of us, and which is unfortunate because a lot of us are not African-centered. A lot of us believe that this election, we've been told, and they've captured our mind, the most important election in the history of the Western world, you know. And then you see the people who are running, and even though there might be some individuals whose concepts and ideas are more humane and more humanistic than what the Democratic Party wants to do, what the Republican Party wants to do, but it's a two-party system that has benefited many people. It's a two-party system that promotes capitalism. And, of course, capitalism is an evil system. An evil system. And nothing's going to be done about it except continue to hurt those who are on the margin. In fact, I haven't heard anything. I knew I wouldn't hear anything from Trump, but I haven't heard anything from the Democrats either about the poor. I don't know about you and your city, but Atlanta has a lot of homeless. Atlanta has a lot of people, you know, on the street. It's just like L.A. when I was in L.A., not the last time, time before, and drove down to Skid Row and seen the multitudes of people. And even though L.A. has a large population of Latinos, Hispanics, whatever word, but the majority of the people that I seen that were poor was us. Was us. And you can find them in every major city. I don't know to what extent that it's like here in Atlanta or LA or the major cities, but it is there. And nobody who's campaigning said a damn thing about what we're going to do about the poor, about those men and women and families who have been so marginalized that who knows what it's going to take to put them in a better situation. I know what it would take, and that is the financing to put themselves in a better position, a better job or existence of living. What they have the ability, this country has the ability, it has the resources, it doesn't have the will. It doesn't have the will to do it. Capitalism as a system where one person can have just ridiculous amounts of wealth. I don't know how many billionaires it is. I don't know. Maybe I'll kind of Google that. They give you a number in the world and in the United States. Let me see if I can do that. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. How many billionaires in the world? How many billionaires in the United States? Okay. According to Forbes, there are currently 2,781 billionaires in the world. And 813 of those billionaires reside in the United States. Global billionaires. 2,781 USA. Forbes has released this list of billionaires every year. Billionaires. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Oshie?
Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm all right, man. You know, can't call it. It is what it is. Yeah. Do what it do. I thought you was having a guest on today.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be on Wednesday. Unfortunately, he had to change.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he had
cool,
to change.
Cool.
So it's just, this is a yo show. So whatever's on your mind,
hey,
brother.
Man, the bottom line is he may be the perfect guest come Wednesday. Maybe he'll be able to give some direction on how our people are going to move forward after the dog and pony show is over.
Yeah, and regardless, or as I say used to go, irregardless, who wins? Because it's still going to be incumbent upon us in the movements that, in the direction we're going to take. But, of course, we have relied on government. We relied particularly since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, because we used to be Republican because of Abraham Lincoln. But that changed because the old Dixiecrats, the racist son of a bitch, realized they could maneuver and manipulate into the Republican Party. And Delano Roosevelt was, of course, a Democrat, and he came with the New Deal. He had the New Deal. And many of our people saw his cabinet, and, you know, he had some good brothers and sisters, you know, Mary McLeod Bethune.
Well, the New Deal was supposedly a step forward. I don't know what you call what's going on now, because I was just reading in the paper earlier that this guy, Nate Silver, who's supposed to be one of the leading
posters
in the country,
right,
is saying that Trump got it on the rack. And hey, man, if that's the case, number one, it will go to show that this is a white man country, and that the white man and his woman is doing everything in their power to try and sustain that. Now, as one moves forward, for us as a people, I don't know, because I truly, truly believe that black people, not all black people, but a large majority will just be totally stuck, will be traumatized and
no doubt,
just in a state that they don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to survive 4 years of this psychopathic maniac, narcissistic, whatever.
Well, especially since they saw what he did from 2016 to 2020, because,
now what people really don't never discuss is, between 2016 and 2020, there were people in place that kept him under a certain leash.
Right.
Now,
there is
those
none.
People are not in office, and there's just no telling what he may do. Now, I heard something earlier this week that just had me shaking my head. They were saying that because the Supreme Court had given the clown immunity, that President Biden may have the immunity to kill him for being a threat to the country and getting away with it. Now, I would say this. If I was in that position, I would do it. There's a lot of things involved truthfulness.
Biden is almost out. Biden is almost have one foot in the grave anyways. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
You might as well go ahead and do it.
And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things that Biden could have did with executive actions that could have really helped Harris and helped the country and all of that. But he would never do it because always remember, he's a white man looking to preserve whiteness also.
Exactly.
Just in a different, maybe non-attack manner. But the reality is, these white folks got to try and sustain their existence in this country, and they're not going to allow anybody else to take power in this country. This is not South Africa, man. In South Africa, it was inevitable that the African would have to take some degree of power. But if you study it and you look at it, the white man showed his brilliance. I mean, let's call it what it is. The white man showed his brilliance with the way that he has been able to control South Africa, make some of the Negroes, like some of the Negro peons in this country, happy by giving them a little bit of wealth and privilege while the masses of our people suffer. And the white man sits in the background and manipulates and controls everything. You got to give that boy some type of damn credit for the way that he manipulated the South African.
But you know what, though, Jay?
That he had power.
You know what, Jay? I give the European, the cracker, Urugu, none for his evil genius. Because everything was designed to do what it did. And what it did to our people was just unconscionable. Many of our people have lost the ability to think victoriously. We acquiesce. We just go along to get along. In South Africa, you're right, it had to, because we had the majority. We had the people, the numbers, you know. But yet and still, right, they were able to steal. And as I say, look who's controlling it. I don't give a damn who's in the political head, but who's controlling the money and who's controlling
the resources.
Right. And who's controlling the military, who's controlling the army, who's controlling. If those two people, if they, other than the vast majority of the people there, they in control. And that's what they did in South Africa.
That's what South Africa is. And the thing is, in America, you know, it always gets me, and I get in trouble for saying it, but black people ain't got no power in this country.
No.
Black people ain't got no position. They tell you the power and position that you have in this country is your vote. And that vote don't mean sugar, honey, iced tea when you put it in to context.
Right.
Because you ain't a big enough of a population. Mm-hmm. I be listening to your boy, Roly Poly Martin, a lot. And he's talking about if we, 70% of our people voted, we would then be able to win all elections. And I always say, well, if we won all elections, tell me what power would we have? What will we have? Your representatives don't do anything to empower you. Name me a representative that's really doing something to empower you, but you praise a Maxine Waters, but ask anybody in California, what is the population of black people in her district, and what is the population in California, and isn't it declining?
Of course it is.
But nobody wants
especially because of the influx of what's called.
I mean, look at Jim Clyburn. Look at this clown Jeffries in New York, where I'm at.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is they're just symbolic footstools. That's all they are. Symbolic footstools that really have no power because they can't even come together collectively and punish nobody.
Well,
and deal with the enemies of the state. Now, all you can hope for come Tuesday is this, that you control at least one of the houses. Because if you lose both houses
and the presidency,
and you get this cycle in office, it's absolutely rap, because black people ain't gonna figure out how to come together collectively and fight back or try to sustain themselves and do what would did be important to make a change within 2 years.
Or the Democrats.
Or
the Democrats won't figure that out as well.
No.
They'll be in disarray. They'll be in shock or they'll be in disarray. And of course, the Project 225. Already things have been implemented been implemented previously, and all the things that are so reactionary and all the reactionary elements will be put out front, and so therefore they're gonna vote for him, and that's gonna be a wrap.
It's happening. In order for people to reclaim anything, they're going to have to figure out, when I say quick, how to mobilize the people to gear up for 2026 to be able to gain control of one of those two houses to slow down the absolute onslaught that's going to happen within those two years.
Well, what has happened in the recent past is that when the new president came in, he had both houses and, of course, the executive branch. And then in the midterm, he lost one of the houses.
Right.
You know, and the same thing has happened with
that
Biden.
That may be the only thing that saved the country. Oh, yeah. Because imagine... These dumb white folks don't understand. He's going to do two things to destroy the country that's going to really, really cause problems that's going to take a long time to recover. He's going to play that tariff game, and he's going to try to implement as many people as he can. And if he's able to do those two things, it's going to absolutely bring on probably the worst recession that we've ever had since the Depression. And people don't understand it, because this fool don't even understand what tariffs are. And he doesn't understand how it's going to affect people. Now, this is the question that I always ask this boondock white trash is this. If your father's on insulin, and before last year, your father was paying $3,000 or more for insulin a month or something like that. Now that he's paying $35, how are you going to feel when they take that away from him and you now got to go back to paying all of that money for insulin?
It's gonna be,
how are you
going to
feel?
Right, it's going to be traumatizing.
What's the justification? Yeah. What's going to be your justification to now be placed in this economic position when it ain't like you going to get jobs and things of this nature? Let me leave you with this last one. This is going to be a good one.
All right.
Somebody said to Bill O'Reilly the other night, what are black jobs? You know what this clown had the nerve to say? Well, black jobs are service industry jobs. Now, come on, B. Yeah. You telling me that black jobs and service industry jobs are what black people dream and wish for by replacing the Babalooey and the rest of these immigrants with black people that have any type of common sense and knowledge and wisdom want higher paying jobs, engineering, AI, other type of jobs, and then we don't even talk about what he's going to do the government work for. I mean,
let me catch another.
I hope we survive.
Right on, Jay. I appreciate you, man. Let me catch another caller before we're done. Sister, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed your program. I see it's 1 o'clock. Not over. But I agree with a lot of what you said, and especially about, you know, that there's no word for the poor. You know, Kamala Harris she just speaks about middle class and abortion.
Right.
So, I mean, I ain't got to get nothing against middle class getting money, but we got to be looking out for our African, you know.
Well, see, the other thing about middle class is this. When they say something about middle class, there's two types of middle class. There's Caucasian middle class and there's our middle class. Their middle class, the middle class income is maybe 150,000, maybe 200,000. Our middle class income is 80,000. See, so deep disparity there. And even 80,000, a lot of times you just make it, you know. Now, if you make 80 and I make 80, that's 160. Okay.
Okay.
See, that's the difference. But the reality is, it's just a different situation between you say something about middle class between them and us. And for us, we'll always be relegated to a lower standard here in this country because
right.
that's what we are to them.
Right.
And because it's theirs. Shit. You know, they don't want
competition. Well, I mean, they should be, though. We keep saying, you know. They came over here and stole the place.
Yeah.
They claiming it, and so,
they,
I mean, I just they came, they just a good thing.
They came over and stole it, and they brought us over to work it.
Kidnapped us.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Right.
So yeah, that's the fact.
I wish that Kamala Harris, she could be, let us hear about George Floyd. You know, Police Act. You know, I'm tired of all of our African brothers and sisters getting terrorized and beat up by the police. You know, talk to us about something like that, having police immunity.
Sure.
So that...
Yeah, they got police immunity. You know, they'll just go and wreak havoc. Yeah. They'll wreak havoc.
So,
shit. Yep.
Right. And, yeah, I know. I think the other brother was on was saying that he heard that... that Trump is just going to win. But, you know, some of that, a lot of that could be propaganda, too.
Well,
I mean, because I've heard propaganda
sure.
that she was going to win.
Exactly.
And that she has it in the bag. But, you know, we just have to keep in mind, I mean, you know,
let me say this.
I mean, she got the characteristics.
Yeah, let me say this, my sister. If Trump wins, it's a serious indictment to this country,
yeah, on the people.
that a man who we have seen prior to when he ran for office all his life, who has been a failure in business, who has been a narcissistic demagogue, who has
demagogue,
been evil,
yes.
Yes, that's what he is, and yet
absolutely.
We are going to put him in office. We're going to vote for him.
Well, it's not we, yeah. But you know,
no, not
about,
we, not us, but they are going to put him in office. You're right. I ain't doing shit.
I know, but you know what's so unbelievable about it? You know, you got to remember, this is racist America. And so y'all can see how they could do. These white women would rather have a demagogue, a diabolical warmonger like Trump, and then vote for a black woman.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
And so, I mean, it's just that racism would, is real. Well, I mean, these white people, they'd rather do that. I mean, these women, they're voting against themselves. They did it
in 2016. Hillary Clinton was a deeply flawed candidate.
But, yeah, she was white, too.
But exactly. But white women did not vote for her ass. White women did not vote for her. They voted with their husbands. But also, too, though, she didn't lose the general election.
She lost by 3 million.
Right. She lost an electoral college.
Why are you going to have the electoral college anyway? The system's a fraud.
Right.
About every vote count. It's just a fraud, man.
It is. And that's my contention is that once you, if the Democrats get the House and the Senate and the presidency, change that shit. Get rid of the electoral college.
It's antiquated.
It is. Because it was racist from the beginning because what it dealt with is that here me has a plantation owner, master.
Right.
I have so many captives that they translate to votes for me to use at my discretion.
Right.
See, because otherwise, and that today, they can't win a general election. They can't do it.
Right. So, right. If they do win, it's going to be a lot of of them stealing the vote.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, they just already setting it up.
Yeah, they are. Well, he's already setting it up to once again claim voter theft, stop the steal, voter inconsistency, all of those things. He's already doing it. And, you know, he did it before with the big lie, and it was proven to be a lie. But yet he continued to say it. And those of his minions continue to say it. Just like J.D. Vance. I have no respect for that man. None.
But then again,
all the things that he called Trump Hitler. He said this, that, and about Trump. But yet when he picked him as the, now Trump is great. Of course. He's his running mate.
He's just a fraud about the rest of them.
Yeah. And I hope it ruins his career. But anyway, dear, you know we got to go.
Okay, but you know, they hear how they're going and burning the ballots out of the mailboxes. You heard about that, right?
They done what?
They're burning.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. They bailed. Right.
It's just a fraud, man. Yeah. It's that ballot.
Right. And I don't believe that Democrats would do that. But I believe that Make America Great people would do that. I don't know. But I've seen enough stuff already inundated. But just like what you said, one pollster said, like Jay said, he has Trump winning. But all the other people have her winning. And I guess their rationalization is that this shit is so messed up. He is so whack. It should be literally impossible for any right-minded person, any sane individual, to vote for his ass. And so, therefore, she should win big. That's the rationale.
Right.
Let's see what happens.
Living in America.
That's right. Living in America. All right. Have a blessed weekend, dear.
Oh, yes. Have a blessed weekend. Abibi
Fahodiye. Abibi Fahodiye. Our victorious destiny. Peace, my sister. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodiye means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a safe and wonderful weekend, family. See you on Monday, where Baba Broody will be my guest. Peace, family.